This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk a little bit about a little event that I've got to go to, where it turns out there's going to be someone there that I don't actually like very much. And this person also, in turn, doesn't like me very much. And I thought I'd make a little video just talking about how this is quite a universal experience, how there's always going to be that one person out there that you're not a big fan of and who's not a big fan of you. And you can't really streamline your social circle to only include people that you get on with and that only you really like. You can do as much of a good job as possible by cutting out obviously toxic people, but you know, there comes a certain point where someone isn't toxic, they're just a bit of a pain. And you know, they're just a little bit annoying or a bit boring or, you know, sanctimonious or whatever, right? We all have those people that, you know, we don't really like. And, you know, we don't have enough of a reason to get rid of them completely from our lives. But, you know, we try and reduce our exposure to them. You know, like this person, I've not seen them in about 8 months. And before that, I've not seen them for about 2 years, right? So I try and I don't actively try and keep them out of my life. I just don't bother, really. I just don't, you know, I don't reach out to them. He doesn't reach out to me. And that's a totally fine arrangement, you know? And we just occasionally bump into each other at the odd mutual friend meetup down the pub, right? And that's basically what today is. It's a little meet down the pub, and I don't like him. He doesn't like me. And we're probably both going to sort of smile and nod. We're going to smile and nod our way through it. Not really talk to each other that much. We'll kind of do our own little separate thing, talk to the people that we're closer to, because, you know, different people are closer to different people. I mean, that just sounds like it's obvious, but it's true. It is. I mean, you know, say your best friends are persons A, B, and C, right? And so person A, their best friends are you, person B, and person D. Now, you don't really know person D very well. You've met them a couple times. They're an all right person. You don't know them very well, though. You've only met them twice, right? But person B, their best friends are persons D, person A, and person C. But they don't necessarily like, you know, they get on with you a little bit, you know? So it's not necessarily mutual. You like them, but they don't necessarily like you, right? And that's sort of fine. It's a little bit disheartening to sort of see that a relationship, a friendship is kind of one-sided. And eventually you decide, I'm not taking any of this anymore. I'm not going to bother. If I'm not getting, you know, my attempts at befriending you recuperated, then I'm not going to bother continuing with this friendship. And that's totally fine. And then say person C, their best friends are you, person E, and person F. Now, persons E and F, you've barely know. You've met once at one strange event, which wasn't completely the norm. And that's kind of how you know persons E and F. But person C, they meet up with persons E and F quite regularly, but they don't really hang out with persons A and B very much. So all your friend groups are kind of like a little social spider graph where everything is going out in different ways. And, you know, you'll form a new bond and that bond will tighten. You know, at first it might start off with like a spider silk, right? But then it will, you know, tighten and compress into something a bit more rigid and firm, to the point where, because they say that, you know, spider silk has the same strength as steel. So imagine spider silk, but instead of it being really, really thin, spindly, it's really thick, like suspension bridge rope, that stuff, right? So that would be your best friends, right? And you got that suspension bridge rope, right? And then there's some people who you get on with, right? And you're probably going to be friends until you die. You don't have any particular, like, dislike of them, But they're also not someone that, you know, you're going to be hanging out with every day or calling up on the phone or whatever, you know. They're not someone that you can confide your deepest issues with, right? And that's something that I think is a good metric point of friendships, right? With your acquaintances, you can bring up little issues, right? You know, oh, it was a pain in the ass getting here, my phone died, and then, you know, the bus was really crowded, and, you know, ah, my flatmates are being a little bit of a pain in the ass, you know, just, you know, they never clean the kitchen or whatever, right? You can do all that with your acquaintances, little nothings that don't mean much in particular, and then with your friends, you might be, like, your proper best friends, you can actually get in depth with, like, real, you know, issues that affect you personally, like, say if you've got some kind of, I don't know, depression or something like that. You're not going to bore them to tears and trauma dump them, obviously. But, you know, you make it sort of clear that, you know, you're not in a great space. And they'll be like, ah, listen, man, you know, I understand. We've all been in these various situations. Like, a couple of years ago, I wasn't in a great place. Now you're not in a great place. You know, I understand how these things happen. And that's totally fine, right? That's an all right thing to occur. And if you're very best friends, you can, you know, impart your deepest, darkest insecurities. And, you know, if you can have that special relationship, you can't have that with very many people. You probably can't have that with more than five people, I would say. But it's nice to have that. If you can have that, even if it's just one person, it's nice to have that. It's nice to have that just understanding, that mutual understanding that, like, you'll be there for one another, you know? You'll help each other out when times get tough. That when, you know, you fall, they'll pick you up. And when they fall, you'll help pick them up. And that's a nice little, you know, to and from sort of thing. And because we are social creatures, us human beings, right? We all like to gather in big cities and stuff like that. But, you know, that's... Shut up. Compared to something like, you know, an anteater, you never see two anteaters hanging out. They don't, you know, impart their deepest, darkest insecurities on each other because they're not a social species. We are a social species, whether we like it or not, we are a social species. And all we can do is use that to our best to bring new experiences onto ourselves, because the only way we'll find new things is either through looking ourselves or being exposed to it by someone else. And I think it's much easier to be exposed to something new when someone else exposes it to you, because say if someone puts something on, right? You kind of have to sit there and, like, give it an open mind in a way that you don't have to when you're on your own. Where if you're watching it on your own, you might be bored of it in about 20 seconds and you turn it off. But because this person's here, you have to sort of sit and watch it a little bit to be nice, right? And because you've given it a little bit more of your time, that might mean that you... Because that thing might need a bit of time to get into. It might need a bit of time to start up and get going. So now you've given it like 10 minutes of your time. And now you decide you quite like it and you might go and watch some more of it, or you might engage with some more of it. Someone shows you a new song. You might have clicked the song if you were on your own, heard like a drum beat that you're like, ah, oh, this just sounds like a pain in the ass, and you turn it off. The other person puts it on and now you've got to give it an open mind, because this person that you respect likes this thing, right? So you can't just immediately dismiss it. So that means that you get exposed to new experiences. And that's something that's nice about having friends. It's nice to have that openness with one another, where we can show each other things and we can talk about stuff and get into various little experiences, because, you know, the little conversation you might be able to have with yourself is nowhere near as in-depth as you can have with someone else who has a totally different conscious mind that can work together with yours in a form of chemistry. You know, when they talk about movies, they're like, oh, those two actors didn't have chemistry. Chemistry is a very real thing with social interactions, and two people might have really good chemistry or they might not have very good chemistry, right? And getting back to the thing that I was talking about at the start, how, you know, sometimes you're in a social situation, you kind of get stuck with that one person that you don't really like and they don't really like you. It's just a lack of chemistry, you know? It's like gold and water. Gold just sits there, doesn't do anything, right? That's kind of what it's like. But some people, it's like magnesium and water, or however the fuck it works. You know that thing where, like, you put the magnesium in something and it just goes sparking all over the place? That's good chemistry, right? And you want to, you know, try and get more people that you have good chemistry with, and try and surround yourself with less people that you don't have good chemistry with. And yeah, that's basically the point of the video. It's not anything special. It's basically just to sort of get something off my chest, which is, you know, sometimes there's just someone that, you know, you don't like. And it's, you know, It's not that they've done anything super badly wrong or anything like that, but they're just annoying and you just don't get on with them and you feel like they kind of bring the mood down. And they probably feel the same way about me, right? Or the other person. It's mutual, right? We don't like each other and that's totally fine. I don't have to be liked by everyone and I don't need to like everyone. There's 8 billion of us in the world, right? In the UK alone, there's 70 million. Take away the children, maybe 50 million. Take away like the super old people, that's another, I don't know, 30 million. That's still 20 million people left that I can be friends with, right? And I can still be friends with a really old person. You know, say of those 20 million, even like 1% are people that I'm compatible with, right? That's still like 200,000 people that are potential friends, right? That I have in my capacity to meet in one country. And then go to all the other countries on the, you know, in the world. America, it's got like 8 times the population of the UK. So that's 8 times 200,000. That's like 1.6 million or something like that. Potential friends that I could make just in that country. And then Canada and then Mexico. And I'm not saying I'm going to go and make friends of all 200 fucking thousand of them or whatever. But it's just to show that there is an infinite pool of people. Okay? You don't have to surround yourself with people that you don't like just because they're around and they're the nearest thing. Right? You can do better. You can do so much better. And if you feel like you can't, you're wrong. You are incorrect because there are so many people out there. You know when like you go through a breakup or whatever and that friend will sort of tap you on the shoulder and be like, yeah, there, man, don't worry. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Look, they're not wrong. There is plenty more fish in the sea. It's a very basic phrase, but it's a phrase that is incredibly correct. You know, you don't have to surround yourself with people that do your head in because there's so many people out there that will make your head start to whir and activate some interest. And you know, you'll know it when you see those people and when you start interacting with them. Like some of the friends I've made in the past couple of years, I've known like straight away that this person was gonna be like potentially a really good friend of mine. I know that there is that chemistry and it's only through, you know, more meetings up sort of things where, you know, we meet up 7 or 8 times and then by that point we're texting each other and like, you know, we're tight like that. And now we're just proper friends and we can just get on and we can arrange a little thing or we can just text each other like, ah, oh, what's going on? Or send each other a funny video or whatever, you know? And that's a nice little relationship because we are social creatures and we get to, you know, share this human experience with one another. We're all in it together at the end of the day. So let's try and make life as easy as it can be for one another, yeah? So yeah, thank you very much for watching this video. If you have any thoughts on social interactions, please leave them in the comments below, you know, with regards to, you know, various people that you have chemistry with. There must be someone in your little friend group who you just find a pain in the ass, but everyone else really likes them, so you kind of keep it zip and just try and, you know, surround yourself with the people that you do really like. And that's totally fine. It's all right to be like that because it's part of the human experience. You're not going to like everyone and not everyone's going to like you.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You, and that's okay. So, yeah, thank you so much for watching, everybody. Have a good rest of the day and take care. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about a dilemma that I have. So recently, I went charity shopping with my girlfriend, right? We went all around the charity shops, went to probably help about 15 of them, right? Had a lovely little time going around, looking at records, having a look at some of the books that are there. I managed to get a Zager and Evans, the year 2525 on vinyl as a little single. And I also got Shadows, a single, so the surf rock band. So I was really happy with that. She got a few things. And it was just an overall quite successful trip to the charity shop. Normally when I go charity shopping, I don't find very much. But these were charity shops in an area that I don't normally go to. And so there was just a plethora of things that were available to me. And we were in this one shop. I think it was a British Heart Foundation or something like that, right? And we go in and we have a look at the records. Not really any records that are worth getting. And my girlfriend starts having a chat with the woman behind the till, right? And they're having a bit of a conversation. And while they're having the conversation, I start looking at this little statue. And I just almost felt drawn to it. I was really enamored by this statue. I really liked it. And I was just holding it in my hands, just looking at it. And the little face on it was looking back at me. And it was almost like this bonding experience with this little statue. And the woman behind the till, she saw me looking at it. And she was like, are you interested in buying that, love? And I had a look on the bottom and it said £10. And I thought, that is quite a lot. But I don't know. I feel something pulling me towards the statue, right? So I bought the statue. Here it is. So I've got this, right? And I'm not really sure what to do with it. She put it in a Sainsbury's bag and I was carrying it around and it kept falling out of the bag and I was just carrying it like a plastic bag, big plastic bag, right? I'm just carrying it around and it just keeps falling out and it's made of pretty solid metal. So, you know, you can batter it a little bit, you know? But so it's durable. But it kept falling out of the bag and I thought that was a little bit weird. It was almost like it had a mind of its own and it wanted to get away, you know? So bring it back and I put it on a shelf and I tried to balance it. But you notice it doesn't really stay. It kind of moves and jiggles about on its own, right? So it doesn't quite stay down. And obviously it's a big, tall, lanky statue like myself. And it doesn't really stay down firmly. And then later that day, we were watching this documentary about this lad, and he went up a mountain and he found this little wooden statue type thing. And like me, he was really drawn to it, he was really enamored by it. And so he picked it up, he took it back, and he started having weird things happen in his house. Like his cat started purring louder and the milk went off quicker, things like that, right? And then it started getting a bit scarier and it started like a dark mist was coming onto you, right? And so he got the ghost people in to sort of have a look at it. And they had this one ghost woman who she put on a VR headset and she laid back, right? Big headphones on, so complete sensory deprivation, right? And there were these other guys that were sat on laptops trying to like doing programming and going running simulations or something. And this woman that had the VR headset on, she was laying back and she was talking about, she was like communicating what the ghosts were saying. And so there was two ghosts and the ghosts were having an argument, right? And they were figuring out like, oh, it's really weird. It seems like these two ghosts are having an argument. And I wonder what they're arguing about. Which one's Seb? Which one's Andy? Oh, yeah, yeah. And they were just having all this little interactions, right? And they found that the only way to get rid of whatever curse was making this guy's milk go off quick, right? Was to take it back up the mountain, do a load of rituals, like setting like rings of fire and then putting the statue in the middle, right? And then putting a ring of fire around it and all standing around it going, oh, mala, and we got to sort some things out and blah, 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 right? So they did that. They did a little ritual where there was this little chain that was around it that someone added on after. Someone had poked nails into its eyes. So they took the nails out, they did a bit of polish to it, and then they put it back where it was, just like that, right? And that, suddenly this guy had long life milk all of a sudden, right? So the curse was lifted. And I was watching this and I was thinking, Jesus. Because this thing was in the room and I would occasionally make eye contact with it and it would sort of look back at me. I'd look, ooh. Is my milk gonna start going off quick, right? Because I do buy milk, but I don't get through it really quickly. I only have it for coffee and tea and stuff. I don't tend to have like bowls of cereal all the time. So I don't get through milk very quickly. So if my milk starts going off, it's really going to affect me. And I don't have a cat yet, but I plan on getting a cat. And if that cat starts purring like the gale force of that fucking airplane, the decibel rate of that airplane, I'm going to be irritated all day. And I don't really want this to curse me, right? So I've been thinking, I need to do something with this statue because my girlfriend hates it. And I don't really want to keep it around if she hates it that much, right? I want to get rid of it and respect her wishes with it, right? And to be honest, I don't love it either. I mean, look at it. It's a bit tatty, isn't it? I mean, imagine you go to someone's house and this is just proudly displayed on the mantelpiece. I'd have to blue tack it down or sellotape it down or something, right? But imagine you go to someone's house and it's just this, right? And he's just staring at you while you're sat on the sofa having a chat. I just don't think it would be very good. I don't understand why I bought it, what drew me to buy it, I don't know. But something did, and I feel like it has a life of its own. I've been taking it out to see all my friends, right? So I've seen a few friends over the weekend, right? And I took this to just get their opinions on it. So a mate of mine said it was a West African, probably Ghanaian, right? Or Nigerian or something like that, right? I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. So that's neat. And so I asked him, do you think it might be cursed? And one mate said no. One mate said, oh, you're being stupid. And one mate said, yeah, maybe it's cursed. I mean, if you said you had a drawing sort of sensation to it. And look, I'm not the sort of person that believes in cursed fucking items and stuff like that, right? I was watching that documentary and taking the piss out of it, but I don't know. I look at this thing and I just think, you know what I mean? There could be something a bit weird going on with this. There could be something a little bit cursed. I mean, it's a strange thing to find in a charity shop. I mean, there is all sorts of like tatty bric-a-brac in charity shops, but something about this just feels unique. And I don't know quite what it is, but I really like it. I identify with how lanky it is, right? Because look, I'm a tall guy, okay? And this, I could relate to this, right? So I'm just thinking, how am I going to handle this situation? So there's a few worries of mine, right? One, is it tatty? Two, is it cursed? And three, my girlfriend hates it, right? So I kind of have to not have it around. Like, and I could, but I don't particularly like it either. It's not a hill I'm willing to die on, this, right? So I will get rid of it. But I'm just thinking where. And I thought back to that documentary and like the taking it back to whence it came. And I thought, I'm not taking this to Africa. I'm not going to Africa with this just to bury it in the sand or whatever. It's not worth it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take it back to whence it came, aka of a charity shop. Maybe not that particular charity shop. Maybe just a British Heart Foundation in general. I'll take it back to one of those. £10 down the drain. But at the same time, there's been an emotional bond with me and this item, right? This guy. I like him. And I don't know what to make of that. I just think he's really interesting. And I don't get this with many things. I don't form like emotional attachments to objects particularly often, like bits of bric-a-brac and stuff. I've got a can of water from the 1950s, right? And I quite like that. But even that just sits on a shelf. I don't even think about it. I only thought about it for the sake of bringing an example. But apart from that, I've not really looked at it in about 6 years. And it sits on my shelf, so it's right in front of me all the time. But I just don't look at it because it's a can of water, right? I can get water downstairs from the tap. So I don't really have any need for this. I don't really want it around. It doesn't balance properly, right? So, and my girlfriend hates it. So all of the things are working against me here, right? So I am going to give this up. I'm going to take it back to the charity shop. But I just thought I'd make a video just sort of showing it off and just showing that sometimes an item can have a really strange impact. And I'm not a spiritual person particularly. I tend to believe that what we see is what we get. I'm not like a God-fearing man. I don't believe in God. Don't really believe in religion, organized religion and stuff like that. So for me to have this kind of weird spiritual connection with this item and feel like it's cursed and actually genuinely kind of believe that it's cursed is very unlike me. I'm normally quite cynical about that sort of thing and I would laugh at anyone that said the same thing as me, right? But for some reason, I feel it with this. And I don't know quite how to handle that. And so that's why I'm making this video, because I feel like there's a little bit of conflict in there, an ideological blockade, as you were, between what I actually feel in this moment and what my overall worldview is. My worldview is being challenged by this item in terms of spirituality and things like that. And if an item can do that, and if I can get a spiritual enlightenment for 10 quid from a charity shop, that's not too bad, right? And I think also it just goes to show that if you go through life kind of open-minded and willing to let your worldview be challenged, you can have fun little experiences. Like this has been a fun little emotional, not roller coaster, but maybe an emotional carousel, right? Where it's not particularly intense, but you're just going up and down. It's a nice little ride, right? And then you get off, right? So I'll probably be getting off soon when I drop this off at the charity shop. I'll probably do that on the way back. And yeah, that's really the whole point of this video. So if you have anything similar, where maybe you're not a particularly spiritual person, maybe you are, but you felt a draw to a particular item, as random as that item might be, and you just couldn't escape it, right? Let me know in the comments. Let me know what you think. And let me know what you think of this. If you can identify what this is, right, I would really love to know if it is West African, if it is Ghanaian, if it is Nigerian or whatever, right? And also what it means. There's no text on it or anything like that to give me any information. I tried Googling various things, but like lanky African statue doesn't really get you very much on Google. So I've just kind of got this. And I do find it really fascinating and really interesting. But I am going to give it up. So this little experience between me and you, this is coming to an end today, right? So yeah, thank you very much for watching. Hope you have a good rest of the day. And yeah, do let me know if you've had any similar experiences with any statues, with any weird things, any cursed items. And if you've been subject to a curse, then let me know. And bear in mind that I'm not a spiritual person. I'm normally quite cynical about all this stuff, and I'm not about to become a new age fucking guru or anything like that. I still remain very cynical towards the idea of curses and stuff. And you know, probably in a few months, I'll look back and I'll laugh at the fact that this thing had such a power over me. And it's probably just me allowing it to. Maybe it's a placebo. Maybe it's just the fact that I want this curse to happen. I'm not sure. But something's going on. And I think it's interesting. I thought it was worth making a video on. So, yeah. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. He can see you out. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, our Lessons in Confidence today. I want to talk to you a little bit about finding locations for your film, project, whatever it might be, music video, right? And how, in particular, filming on the streets can be one of your best assets, because the streets are free. Anyone can film on the streets. And with the streets come a wide variety of locations. So you've got urban places like this. You've got more nature-y kind of places in your local parks or whatever. You have more suburban places, more urban places, etc., etc., right? And along with that, you get free extras as well. The main problem is that sometimes they will look, and quite often actually, they will look into the camera. But in general, using the streets is really, really beneficial, because there's a few reasons, right? One, you don't have to pay for permits, right? In the UK, there's basically, the law says that if you're a crew of four people or less, then you can do whatever you want without a permit with a tripod. And if you have more than four people, you're not allowed to use a tripod. Basically is how it works. And if you have a really big shoot, then obviously you are disturbing the peace. If you want to like block off roads and stuff, you're gonna have to get in touch with your local council or the government or whatever, and you know, get that all blockaded off, and you're gonna have to pay a load of money. I don't really want to do that. I'd rather just film on the pavements and get it all for free, because I don't think filming like 5 meters over that way is really going to do me much good. I don't think that's going to benefit this video, for instance, if I shut off all the roads, right? But maybe there's a reason you might want to do that. Maybe, I don't know, you want to do a car scene, like a little car chase, and you need a, you know, a space to safely do that, or whatever, you know? I feel like with filming, it's very easy to get a bit nervous about, you know, the fact that there's so many people just going back and forth. Look at all the people that are just walking straight past this shot. It almost feels a bit claustrophobic. But the thing is, and I have made a video about this already, nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about what you're filming, right? The most they'll do is come up and ask what you're filming, but they don't really care. They're only asking because it's a little bit of a novelty, right? And then maybe when they go and meet the person they're off to meet, they'll go, oh, there was someone filming. And that'll be the end of the conversation. Maybe, oh, what are they filming? And if they're filmmakers themselves, maybe they'll start talking about, oh, what they were doing, what camera they were using, blah, blah, blah. But all of that doesn't really get in the way of your own social anxiety little thing in the brain, where it's kind of like, oh, these people hate me or whatever. Like, they don't. That person that's taking a picture right now, and it's totally fine. You're allowed to just go out and commodify the land around you into content. And if anything, if you're a filmmaker, if you're a creative, why not get as many of these locations as you can that are in your city, that are in your vicinity, that are available to you, and use them to your advantage? Like this, for instance, we did a scene here for my friend John Henry Westhead's film, Steve the Stammer's Missing Painting. Just down there, there's a little carpet shop, right? And there's a scene where someone is just like walking past it on the phone, and there's like a stairwell that's on the other side of the road. And if you went there and you did a long zoom sort of lens, you had this really fun like long shot where it kind of panned back and forth from a almost bird's eye angle, well, just a higher angle. And you can use the fact that there's that stairwell there to your advantage. That was kind of fun. Maybe there's a place where there's a little like, you know, walkway up top and you can film from underneath. Maybe there's like a glass bridge somewhere near you and you can film underneath it or on top of it and get a proper bird's eye view. Maybe there's a road with a bus stop that goes by it and you can get a shot of someone getting on a bus to take you to wherever you need to go. Maybe there's like car parking spaces all along where you can make use of the, like if you can get someone with a car to park in one of those spaces, then you can arrange the scene around that as a prop, people getting in the car and out of the car, all having a, like I did a scene for my film Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence recently, which was all set around the car. And basically there were two people that were in the car and one person going up to meet the people in the car. And then he like reaches through the door, through the window, and he sort of shakes their hands and stuff like that. And there's a little bit of blocking with it. And that was all done in a car park for a pub. And basically, if you want to park in this car park, you just need to type the license plate into a little iPad. As long as you're not like bringing a huge crew with like millions of people or you know dozens of people down just to film some bog standard little shite, you can kind of do what you want. As long as you're not getting in people's way, like I'm not in anyone's way right now. Someone might want to walk past this way, but I'm not in their way. People that want to walk down here, that's more than welcome to because they're getting in the shot. And there's just so much you can do with the locations that you have to hand. Do you have a really nice shopping precinct near you? I'm talking about an outdoors one, like a road, not like a shopping centre or a mall, right? If you have one of those and you can make use of that and you can set your stories in your local vicinity, because you know your town, your city better than anyone. You know where you live more than anyone else, right? Just had to make sure I was still recording because I've been hit with that recently. Yeah, so you know your little locations, you know your vicinity, you know your region, you know the things that are going on, you know your community, you know what it's kind of like. So if you want to set a story in these locations, you know what would happen here. You know what's realistic. You know what is true to life. So if you wanted to get that across, then you can. And if you wanted to do something a bit more abstract or a bit more, art deco with it, you can do that. And you can use this to turn it into something a bit larger than life. Like right now, it just looks like some boring grey brown buildings, but you could turn it into something weird. There's all sorts of colour correction things you could do. Turn that building blue. Turn it into some weird, like David Lynchy kind of fucky horror thing. You could do that. You could take a nicer camera or a shittier camera, maybe do something handheld or something on a tripod or whatever. There's so much you can do with the streets. The streets are your asset, right? And they're free. You pay tax to sort all this out. So why don't you make some use out of it? Why don't you use this to the fullest while you have it? I mean, obviously the streets aren't going anywhere. So that's even better. Just keep using the streets and use the streets more to your advantage. You don't need to worry about setting everything in a pub or setting everything in a fucking house or whatever. Because you know what? Out here, it tends to look better, right? When I do my filmings, right, I much prefer filming out in the streets. There's a few reasons for that. One, I think that we work faster because there's a bit more pressure. We're outside and it's a bit colder and all that sort of stuff. We're not in our comfort zone compared to when you're in a house and you can kind of sit down on the settee and have a cup of tea and all that kind of stuff and get into small talk and that kind of thing. And it can kind of eat into the time that you have. Here, it's a lot easier to just be like, go, 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 right? Because you're on the street, right, we've done this location, let's go down there, sort that location out. Oh, we're done there, let's go back down that way. Or let's go down there, let's go up that building, or whatever, you know, right? You can have a lot more, you can be a lot more efficient and a lot more fluid with your cinematography and your blocking and your directing style and managing of your set, right? It's a lot easier to do that when you're on the street compared to when you're in an enclosed environment that's all a bit more controlled. Out here, it's not controlled. And some people would see that as a disadvantage because they can't manipulate the people that are walking back and forth or the cars that come back and forth, right? But what makes it better is the fact that you're outside of your comfort zone, you're in a place that you don't quite, maybe you're not used to being out here doing this sort of thing, right? And that puts pressure on you. And people work good under pressure. They work better under pressure in general. Not everyone does. Everyone's unique and all that sort of stuff. But in general, I think that if you're under pressure, you're going to be having a better time of it in general, right? And yeah, that's kind of the whole video, is just telling you that you have this massive asset to your advantage and you should make use of it. Go out into the streets and do some filming. Find the posh areas and the poor areas and film them both. film down like tower blocks and film like down alleyways and film on high streets and film down suburban roads. Film everywhere that you have to hand, because there's so many interesting things knocking about that you might walk past and go, "Ooh, that looks interesting," right? Why not capture it in a film? Even if it's not the plot point, you could set a scene there and it's just neat that it's there in the background. Right? Just do something with the locations that you have to hand, rather than trying to write to something that you might not have to hand, or like, you know, write a scene in a butcher's and you don't have access to a butcher's or whatever. Don't do that. Just make use of the things that you have to hand. And yeah, that's basically the video. Leave your comments below about what you think on that matter. Whether you think, what do you have to hand in terms of a cool location that you want to use? And what's preventing you from using it? Is it a mental thing from inside, or is it an external thing, like the police are always patrolling it or whatever? I don't know. Something like that. So yeah, thank you very much for watching this, everybody. Hope you have a good rest of the day. Take care, and bye-bye. How long was that? Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles Lessons in Confidence, and today I wanted to just do a little bit of a ramble and just go into one of these videos with absolutely no idea what I'm going to say, no preordained plan, figuring it out, no nothing, right? So I've just did a video sat at this exact location about small talk, and I did probably about a 15-minute video about small talk, and I was really happy with it, right? And then I get up and I go on my phone, right, which I'm recording the audio into. It turns out it wasn't recording. It wasn't recording. It was a really good take. It was a really good little video. I might even put it on Patreon just with the camera audio, because it was really good, and I'm really irritated that I don't have it anymore. So I thought, rather than just, because I tried to do it again, right? I tried to do the video again and it just wasn't working, right? Because I've said the thing. Now I have to wait for maybe a few days before I can talk about the idea of small talk again. So I'm going to have to talk about something else in this video. And just, that's the whole point of what this one is it's just no ideas, no, having an idea that I want to extrapolate on and figure out beforehand and then use the video as a way of actually figuring it out. I figure this one could just be a little bit of a hangout, you know, where we just sort of talk about whatever there is to talk about. So with that video, this doesn't happen very often, by the way. It's only happened a few times, but whenever it happens, it's really, really irritating because, and I think this has been the most irritating because it was probably the best take that never got, you know, recorded properly. I've done other ones where it, you know, the video wasn't all that great anyway, so it's not that much loss, so I don't really mind. But this one, it was a really good video. It was really good. It would have been one of my best videos. And I'm quite sad that it's not actually there. And there's something about just, you know, that fact of failure, the fact that it didn't go according to plan, that just kind of sets you back, you know, and makes you sort of feel like, oh, God. It makes you want to give up. Right, failure makes you want to give up. Failure, for me at least, doesn't drive me to try harder. Failure to me almost does the opposite and makes me want to sort of crawl down and just sort of like curl up. But it shouldn't. That's a bad way of handling stress and handling bad things happening to you and failure and stuff like that. It's not the right way to proceed, right? It just isn't. And I feel like if we can accept that, then we're doing quite well. And see, this is the thing with this video, is that there isn't any particular topic that I want to talk about. There's nothing I want to cover. There's no thing that I want to get across, no message that I want to put to indict onto you. There's just talking, just figuring out, you know, some kind of thing to say, because I don't think there's anything wrong with having nothing to say. You know, if you don't have anything to say, then you don't have to say anything. And in this video, I'm not saying anything in particular. I'm just kind of going through the motions. This is what the motions are for these videos. I've done like 250 odd of these videos at this point. So this is basically just one of those videos, but without any idea, without any concept at all. And I just thought that would be kind of interesting to sort of do, just to give it a try. I don't think it's going particularly well, but so what? Not everything has to go particularly well. Failure can happen, and you shouldn't let failure set you back, even though I have just literally said that it does set me back, right? I am a hypocrite with a lot of the stuff that I say, but I know that what I'm saying is the right thing to say. I know that my brain agrees with it, right? I don't say anything that my brain disagrees with, right? I try and portray a worldview that is constructive and helpful to people to help them sort of come up with their own little ideas about the world. And you can disagree with me on whatever, you know. I'm a disagreeable person, you know. I can get very into my ideas and get, like, you know, lost in my own ideas and then realise after the fact that I wasn't actually saying anything of any worth. I've watched a couple of these videos back. Some of them are really good and they make the point quite well, but some, like, I watched one and there was one where I was ill. And that was kind of the point of the video, like, don't let being ill and stuff set you back. And I get that point, but I stretch it into this, like, 15-minute long tirade of just pure nonsense. There's nothing of value being said in that video, just like there's nothing of value being said in this video. But at the same time, why should that get in the way of things, right? I feel like I've been told by people that what they like about this stuff is the fact that I just hit record and just begin. Right, they don't like, they like the fact that I'm not, you know, targeting SEO and specific target demographic audiences and stuff. I'm just speaking my mind, and like, this is the most speaking my mind video that you're gonna get, because like, I am just speaking my mind. But there's not much on my mind at the moment other than the fact that I'm a bit annoyed that this video didn't work. I'm just frustrated is all, because it was a really good video, and I had little, like, you know, scenarios playing out, and I had this whole, like, concept of medium talk. So you know how there's small talk, right, which is, you know, oh, what's the weather like and all that sort of stuff. And then there's big talk, which is all, you know, what are your thoughts on death, what are your thoughts on the world and stuff. And then there's medium talk, right, which is kind of in the middle, which is sort of, you're a bit more in-depth than small talk, and there's still, like, jokes and stuff laden throughout, but it's not quite as philosophically dense and challenging and sort of serious as big talk is. You know, you might not be talking about, like, the future of civilization and the uprising of AI or you know, Nietzschean philosophy or whatever, but you're still sort of tackling some kind of ideas. How's so-and-so doing? Ah, they're really depressed at the moment. Ah, that's terrible, right? You extrapolate that into a 10-minute conversation, that's kind of medium, that's what medium talk is. Medium talk doesn't have to be gossip, by the way, it can be whatever. It's just whatever's between small talk and big talk, essentially, right? And you need a bit of both with all of them. That was kind of the point of the video. But with this video, the point of it is just to ramble, just to go through and just sort of, I'm just sort of looking around, seeing what's sort of here for inspiration. I mean, the trees are all very, brown and dead, and there's I can see some bird nests in a few of them. I like seeing bird nests in trees, it's kind of satisfying. Seeing a few birds in a few of them, there's a couple of seagulls. Isn't it weird that seagulls are so much bigger than pigeons? That's one thing I'm really glad about, that I'm not a bird, because I don't want to have to be dealing with a bird that's like 400 times the size of me. Like, if I was a little sparrow, I don't want to be having to deal with an ostrich, or okay, more realistically, a swan. I don't want to be dealing with that. If I was a hummingbird, then a duck would terrify me. It just, I wouldn't like it, right? I don't want to be a dog either, because I don't like the idea of being a chihuahua and then, you know, having to get it off of a Great Dane and then create, like, some great chihuahua thing. I hate that. I wouldn't be up for that. And that's kind of where my mind tends to gravitate towards if I have no other stimuli to sort of, push it in some specific direction. Just sort of thinking stuff based on what you see and then trying to convert your sensory intake into some kind of point. So I don't know what the point was with that bird thing. I'm just kind of observing it. I'm in a park at the moment, like a little playground sort of thing. I've done a couple videos here. This is the third video that I'm doing. I'm really irritated that one on small talk didn't work, because it was really good as well. It was really fucking good. Just frustrating that, because this is basically what these videos are. I feel like this is kind of like taking the magic out of the videos, because now you're seeing basically like the behind the scenes almost, but it looks exactly the same. It's like, say you like a band, right? And then you find a version of their song, but it's just like the bass is isolated. That's kind of what this video is. It's just the ramble, but without the point at the center of it. And I feel like that's something that is there. It's just kind of the point of this video, that there is no point. And that's fine for a one-off thing. I'm not going to do this again, don't worry. But maybe call this like a Christmas special, or I don't know, Valentine's Day special, or whatever holiday is around. One of those. Holidays are a bit weird, aren't they? I mean, I do like them, like how we sort of all come together for one like specific thing. I was thinking this actually the other day. You know how there's kind of corporate sort of induced ones? Like Valentine's Day is kind of a good example of one, where it's kind of like a load of corporations look at like an old sort of story and go, oh, we should bring that back and use it as a way of selling like cards and stuff. And people go, oh yeah, that's a good idea in the little meeting. And now suddenly you go everywhere and there's like Valentine's Day stuff everywhere. But I, you know, when Valentine's Day comes around, I like to sort of go, oh, it's Valentine's Day, it's so cute and all that sort of stuff. You know, so it even though it is corporatized and it is like, you know, not natural in that way, but then Christmas isn't natural either, you know, in the same sort of way. Easter's not natural. They're all sort of corporatized, but some are just have been being done for longer. But it's like, I wasn't around in the 1300s for their Christmases, so why should I give a shit? What difference between Christmas and Valentine's Day is there? Just because they weren't celebrating it 700 years ago? Well, now we are. What's wrong with that? Like, at some point, I figure there's going to be the last Christmas, right? Where, like, we all sort of agree, right, we're bored of this Christmas thing. We've been doing it every day for, like, 8,000 years at this point in the future. We've been doing it for 8,000 years. Are we going to keep doing it, right, every year, right? Maybe they'll start doing a Christmas every, like, 4 or 5 years. Or maybe it'll, like, just slowly fade into irrelevance and people won't really bother with it anymore. Like Bonfire Night, for instance. I feel like people aren't bothering with Bonfire Night as much as they used to. Maybe at some point they'll just get bored of doing Bonfire Night and just stop celebrating it. And that'll be fine, because what's wrong with that? A new holiday can come around. Diwali does the same thing. It's fireworks, isn't it? That's the whole point. And if there's another thing that does fireworks, I don't see what we're missing out on. Yeah, I know there's all the lore to the fucking, you know, Bonfire Night, Guy Fawkes and all that stuff, but so what? That's still there. I can still go on Wikipedia and look up Guy Fawkes. What did he do? Not great stuff. He tried to bomb Parliament, right? That's not great. So, all right, Diwali. I don't know what Diwali's all about, but it's a different thing. It's just a different story. And it's not like when Bonfire Night comes around, it's like there's some guy that just sits and tells you the story again. I've heard the story. I know the story. He was knocking about underground and they tried to put all the bombs in underground, the dynamite. But then some lad found it by accident and they didn't end up blowing up Parliament. And he got done. He got strung up in the Tower of London. I know that's not exactly how it works, but to be honest, I don't care that much about Bonfire Night. It's fucking irritating with all the fireworks and stuff going off. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like fireworks. If we could do a firework with nothing going off, like just like, tush, no big booms that scare dogs and stuff like that. Just pack it in with all that. Irritating. We don't need it. And yeah, that's kind of all this video is really, is just sort of figuring out like some kind of point, some kind of salient message to the center of it. And there isn't one. And that's fine. There doesn't have to be a message to everything. Not every bit of art has to have some underlying message to it or some point that it needs to convey. Sometimes it can just be fun just to try it, see what happens. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. This one didn't work, that's fine. But you know what? That's what's wrong with that? Why does every little film or TV show, whatever, need some kind of, you know, message behind it? Why can't it just be entertainment? Entertainment is nice. Why we're not always set out to like stimulate our brains. Sometimes we just want a little bit of stimulation. We want the McDonald's of you know, art, and this is basically what that is. So if you enjoyed this little McDonald's of art, then please, like, you know, let me know in the comments about it. Tell me sort of like what you liked and what you didn't like about this video, bar the fact that it was all over the place and rambly, because that was the point. And I knew that I was doing that. And if you didn't like that, then that's kind of a you problem with this one. But in general, I don't do that. I do try and have an actual structure and a reason for making a video. But this one, it's just because I did that video on Smalltalk and it didn't work. So, because I wasn't recording it. And it's just really fucking frustrating, man. It was a good video as well. I liked it. So Yeah, I don't have anything else to say really. So leave your comments below about small talk if you want. Actually, don't leave your comments about small talk, because I'm still going to do the video on small talk. I just won't do it today. I'll do it in a couple of weeks when I have like some, when I've forgotten about this, when it's not like the first thing on my mind. And yeah, hope you have a good rest of the day, everybody. Take care. Love you all. And yeah, sorry this one was just literally no point to it whatsoever. But yeah, what are you going to do? Sometimes it's kind of like that, and it's fun to do that. Maybe people will like this one the best. I don't know. They probably won't. But if they do, I'll be surprised. And sometimes you get surprised. No one expected loads of things to happen. So yeah, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.